Welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. I'm Lauren Williams, a senior consultant at Student Loan Planner. I am joined today by a fellow consultant, Connor Pierce, and we are talking all things last call. There is a deadline coming up and you guys need to be aware of it. So if you like hanging out in the clubs, if you're, you know, have a little fun on the weekends, this is your real last call for alcohol. And we are serving up a cocktail that you do not want to miss. If you wait until July 1st to listen to this podcast, you might be sad at the things that you're hearing. So we want to make sure that everybody gets the information they need. Connor, tell us all about why people should be tuning into this podcast today.
Who should be tuning into this is people who want to save a whole bunch of money on their student loans. And maybe they've been indecisive. Maybe they procrastinated. I know I've never, ever procrastinated anything in my life. So if you're listening to this and you've got 1 week left, and you're saying, hey, I'm really not sure about things called the IDR waiver. What is this pay-as-you-earn, PAYE plan that's going away July 1st? What is ICR and who is that applied to? We're going to cover all that. We're also going to give some case studies because some of you are like, hey, I love the details. I want all the nitty-gritty. I want all that. We're going to get into some of that. But we're also going to say, hey, if you're this person with this amount of student loans, you need to pay attention and take action soon.
Absolutely. Please do not send this to your friend on July 1st or after July 1st. And if you're listening after July 1st, oh man, sorry for your luck. We are still going to help you. We've got plans for you because there's a whole new set of rules that are coming as of July 1st. But we want people to be really excited because they beat the July 1st deadline. They got in before June 30th. They're really clear about what is that they need to do with their specific student loan situation. Because if you never heard me say it before on the podcast, I don't know, you must not listen to the podcast before, but student loans are not one size fits all. And so, like I said, last call for alcohol. I don't want you to be that person that wants to buy yourself a drink afterward because you drug your feet this whole time and could have taken advantage of what was the December 30th deadline that turned into the April 30th deadline that is now the June 30th deadline that we believe is real. There will not be an extension to the best of our knowledge of this deadline. And so we've got T minus 5 days for you to take advantage of the IDR adjustment, pay as you earn, ICR, and possibly consolidate depending on your particular situations. Connor, what do you think?
I think it's important what you said about July 1st and why we think the last final deadline. And if you've been paying attention, you get that because the deadline has been extended. It actually was like fully finished and then they retroactively extended it again. But July 1st is the date where the Federal Register, which is the new laws, come into play. So I personally think, as well as a bunch of our consultants on the team, don't think that maybe this IDR waiver and some of these deadlines are going to be extended past that. Now, can the government wave their magic wand? Yes. But why would you wait? Because I'll tell you two folks this morning that I worked with who are glad they didn't wait because they didn't even know about the IDR waiver. But when they found out, it saved them almost $50,000. So $45,000 to be exact, because they happened to schedule a consult before July 1st.
Yeah. Don't be that person. I found this quote from Wiz Khalifa. It says, "We never really learn from the first mistake, the second, or the third. It's just when we're giving a last chance that we actually get on the good foot." So I'm hoping that, like I said, if you miss one of those two deadlines I've already mentioned, that you do take advantage of this one.
Student loans and Wiz Khalifa. What a combination.
I know, right? All right. So let's just jump in and talk about the last chance for the pay as you earn plan, PAYE. A lot of people are on this payment plan. But there's also a lot of people who are not on this payment plan and should maybe be on this payment plan. They're going to lose access to it as of July 30th, as of June 30th. Let's get it right. Connor, what do we need to be thinking about here?
Yeah. So who specifically is this really important for? I would say people who a payment cap is important. So who needs a payment cap are people whose income is going to escalate quite a bit. So these people need to be paying attention. If you're a resident doctor, you're in your fellowship and you're getting way underpaid for the hours that you're putting in, and that income is eventually going to come later where it's going to go up a couple $100,000, pay as you earn is going to be super important. Same for dentists who are maybe going to open their own practice, their income is going to go up a lot. Pay as you earn could be a huge difference because there's a thing called a payment cap. The other huge one is the term is a 20-year term of payments in the pay as you earn plan. Now, some of the other plans that you've heard kicked around, the old IBR plan, the SAVE plan, which is, you know, that plan that's gotten a lot of publicity, that is a 25-year term. So just think, whatever your monthly payment is or will be, multiply that by 5 years and 12 months, and that can be a pretty significant impact on the total amount that you pay on these loans.
Yes, and this is exactly what I was saying about student loans not being one size fits all. There has been a lot of hullabaloo about the SAVE plan. But imagine if you didn't know, like, because everybody else is doing SAVE, you got on SAVE, that you were eligible for pay and that you could have cut 5 years off of the time that you needed to pay on your loan. That's a huge deal. And to your point about that payment cap, sometimes your income is low. And so this is what the problem has been for a lot of people, is they see the SAVE plan and they see the pay plan. They're like, oh, the pay plan is $100 more, but you're not thinking long term. When we're thinking about our finances, we need to look at the bigger picture. And that bigger picture is, to Connor's point, 20 years down the road or 15 years down the road, what's your income going to look like? It's going to be a lot higher. And so what does a higher income mean? A higher payment. Do you want to have that higher payment based on your big grown-up income for 5 years longer? Or would you rather just be done with your loans 5 years sooner? The other thing we need to be thinking about is who is eligible for the pay-as-you-earn plan, because it is not for everyone. You had to borrow exclusively after October 1st of 2007 in order to be eligible for this payment plan. Also needed to have taken out a loan after October 1st of 2011. There's a time frame here that is also relevant. Not everyone is going to be eligible for pay-as-you-earn. If you have loans from 2006, 2005 to 1990 something, the pay-as-you-earn plan is not for you, but there are other options and there are other things that might be relevant to you.
I'm going to throw a little nuance onto that too. So maybe you did borrow for undergrad and you're saying, hey, I'm not eligible for pay because I borrowed my undergrad loans before 2007. One of the nuances to these rules, which all things student loans, super nuanced, right? That's why we have this podcast. That's why we do this and we help people. If you would have paid off those loans entirely before October 1st of 2007, so you have a clean slate, you're debt free for the moment, but then you decided later on, hey, I'm going to go to grad school and take out more loans. If those new loans were taken out after October 1st of 2007, you could still be eligible for this plan. So every once in a while, we'll be working with a client. I know I've had a few who took out loans before that. So if that's where we would have stopped, we just said, hey, you took out that loan, you're not eligible. But we're going to dig into your entire loan history and say, oh, wait, that was actually paid off in 2005 or 2006. And then you took out new loans in that window for the pay, which is October 1st, 2007 to October 1st, 2011. You could actually be eligible for that plan. So again, the nuance, the details are really important to know. Can I get in or can I not into this plan?
100%. The other thing you need to be thinking about is this idea that you can be grandfathered in. So if you're already on the pay plan, you will get to keep the pay plan. It's going away for anyone who's not on it. So you can't opt into this later on down the road. You're losing your chance to opt in if you are currently eligible for it. So what's a good thing if you have a low risk tolerance or you're not really sure, or we get fully booked up and we can't help you before the 30th? Get on the pay plan. And maybe a different plan is a better plan for you, and you can get off of the pay plan, but you don't want to get on the wrong payment plan and not be able to opt in to pay. And that's exactly what happened to a consultation that I just did recently. They were on the pay-as-you-earn plan. They heard a lot about the SAVE plan. They were like, oh, my payment could go down, and they jumped on SAVE. Well, they still ended up booking a consultation, and it turns out that the pay-as-you-earn plan was the right plan for them. So lucky for them, you know, before June 30th, they're going to be able to get back on the pay-as-you-earn plan and not have missed out on a lot of savings down the road because they thought that maybe the smaller payment was going to be more helpful to them, but they hadn't done the math to think about how things were going to affect them in the long run.
Thinking long-term is so important at all things finance, all things student loans. And that's why that extra 5 years, especially if you think your income is continuing to increase, right? Because most people are going to be in probably the prime of their career, right? Around 20 to 25 years after they've graduated, they've now got some years under their belt, they've got some raises under their belt, or they started their own business and their business is really starting to succeed. So super important to really look at, well, what does the future potentially hold so I can make the best decision here and now? Because like we said, you've got about 6 or 7 days to make this decision before you miss the chance.
Have you seen any cases recently, you know, that you've done consultation-wise, Connor, where someone really benefited from choosing pay or maybe was going to miss out on this opportunity?
Absolutely. So one that comes to mind is actually one where it was fairly close when we ran the numbers long-term. And it was like, hey, the SAVE plan is going to be here. Maybe the pay plan is about $10,000 above that. So it actually may be a little bit more expensive, But then we started talking about the political potential of the SAVE plan going away, which when we talk student loans, we talk politics, right? Because student loans and politics are interwoven whether we like it or not. So the SAVE plan, there's actually a couple lawsuits going on right now that are trying to block the SAVE plan. So you may have heard about that. There's also the potential with an election coming up that the SAVE plan could be tried to, they could try and take it away, right? Because the way it was created is a little bit different than the entire, you know, normal lawmaking process that would make it a little bit more stable. So some of that uncertainty when the numbers were actually fairly close led this client to, when they understood that, say, hey, you know what? I'm going to get in that pay plan. I'm going to get grandfathered in because I don't want to be checking my email every Thursday saying, hey, did this plan go away? Looking on the government page saying, oh, shoot, now I missed the chance to get in pay because I got in the SAVE plan and then something changed with the SAVE plan. So one strategy that we actually call it the pay now, save later, because if you're in pay, you can always leave it later. There's no rule against saying, hey, you can't go join into the SAVE plan once the dust kind of settles after some of this. But it is a one-way ticket if you do choose to leave, so you won't be able to re-enter. On the other hand, if you say SAVE or really any other plan that you're going to stay in right now, you later after July 1st will not be able to get into pay. Understanding that can definitely, and the politics behind it, can hopefully make you a better educated consumer and save you some money.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point about the politics behind these different payment plans. So like you said, SAVE future is uncertain, and we've been getting a lot of calls or emails. Say that over again, because that makes people think they can call us. With the future of SAVE being uncertain, we've been getting a lot of emails about, you know, should I change my payment plan? What should I do? What do you think is the future of the politics? And the truth is, we don't know. We are all waiting. It remains to be seen what is going to be the future of the SAVE plan and what they're going to do in light of any changes that they make to the SAVE plan. So what can you do right now is make the best decision based on the information that you have, you know, to the point of the politics of it. The reason that pay and ICR are going away is related to the way that it was written into the legislation. Those two plans can be removed, but there is one that cannot be removed. It is called the income-based repayment plan. We're not going to talk a lot about that one today because it's not under the deadline, but do know that there are other options. So if SAVE goes away, there is something else that exists currently in this moment, and they will have to provide something. You know, everybody's got to pay their loans back. Or maybe they'll just do the whole blanket, wipe it all away that everybody's been hoping for. We don't know. I doubt it, but don't panic about what the future holds. Let's make our decisions in the moment based on the information that we have. And I think this is a good time for us to start talking about something else that is going away pretty soon, which is the ICR plan.
ICR plan, for people who don't know, is the Income Contingent Repayment Plan. And this is the oldest of the income-driven repayment plans. So four different income-driven repayment plans right now. ICR is the oldest. It was created in the 90s, and that plan goes away on July 1st, just like the pay plan for folks who aren't in it. And I should clarify, this plan goes away for folks who do not have Parent Plus loans. Don't freak out if you have Parent Plus loans. You can still get into this plan later, but if you consolidate and you have Parent Plus loans, the ICR plan will be available after July 1st. But for folks who are not Parent Plus loan borrowers, this plan will be off the table. And who does this really matter to? This matters to our high income earners who actually have a smaller amount of debt.
100%. So let's first like pause for a second and talk about those Parent Plus borrowers. We've done tons and tons of podcasts, tons and tons of blogs about Parent Plus borrowers. We're not going to cover it in depth today. We could easily spend an hour talking about it. But the idea is that while this plan will still be available to ICR borrowers, what we really want for our Parent Plus borrowers is for them to take advantage of the double consolidation loophole and not have to be on ICR, because it is the worst of the four payment plans that is available. We'd much rather you have access to pay or save or IBR as a Parent Plus borrower so you can get a lower payment and maximize the amount of forgiveness that you get. Please do look into the Parent Plus double consolidation loophole. If you've not heard of it before, like I said, check out one of the other podcasts, go on our website, simply Google that so that you know, because otherwise you will be stuck with this ICR. If you just do one consolidation, this is the thing that's still going to be around for you. And it's going to be better than having to pay it off on a graduated or extended plan. But there is something else available to you besides ICR right now. And that is also kind of, this is going to be like an early last call. We're going to say save the date for last call for the double consolidation loophole, because that goes away as of July 1st of 2025. Get ahead of it, start learning about it, and understand, like I said, what's relevant to your particular situation.
double consolidation is one of the loopholes of all loopholes where you can totally change someone's life when they understand how to do this. And the other thing, that last call for those procrastinators like myself at times out there, that goes away July 1st of 2025, but that does not mean that you can book a call in June and get this double consolidation loophole done, because the process sometimes takes like 6 months to do. So you kind of actually have to be 6 months ahead of the ball game to ensure that, you know, if you do this process, you'll still be able to take advantage of that. So good clarification there on the double consolidation loophole to get an even better option than the ICR plan.
So you mentioned high income earners as well as somebody who could benefit from the ICR plan. I know that there's this rule that we've been using quite a bit, especially once the IDR waiver started and there were specific new rules related to public service loan forgiveness. There were a lot of physicians who had their loans for a while, were planning on public service loan forgiveness, and then all of a sudden became eligible for PSLF. And ICR became a viable plan. So why don't you explain to us a little bit about how ICR might be relevant to high earners and why they need to be thinking about getting on this plan before June 30th?
So let's do a case study to explain exactly who this is going to be really helpful. So let's say there's a physician, they're making like 500K a year, and they still have 100K in debt. So traditional model, you just say, hey, if you're making 500K a year, you can pay off that debt. You have a pretty high income to debt ratio. So you normally just pay it off. But let's say this physician, you know, started in residency, they were at a nonprofit, they made a couple years of payments, they were in fellowship, they made a couple years of payments, and then the pandemic hit. So they actually weren't required to make payments for 3.5 years, but still got PSLF credit. So this physician now has 100K of debt left because maybe they started paying on it, but then they weren't required to pay. And let's say they have like 7 years of PSLF credit. So with that last 3 years is actually this decision point of, well, if I do 3 more years of work while making payments, I can get these totally forgiven. Or am I just going to pay this off entirely? And guess what? If you were to join the SAVE plan, that's exactly what would happen. Your payment would be like $3,900 a month, and you would pay this thing off entirely. There'd be no benefit to forgiveness. That's where ICR comes in for some of these folks who have high income to low debt. So in the ICR plan, there's some really weird rules to the way they calculate the payment. So it is either 20% of your income, or there's this little disclaimer, the lower of a 12-year repayment plan by this magical multiplier. So what does that mean for the same physician making 500K? That means in the ICR plan, they would actually be able to enroll in this and their payment would be $2,000 a month. So if they have 100K left, they're actually only going to pay like 75K over the course of those next 3 years, and they're going to get that last bit forgiven. So that tip will save them about $30,000 just by knowing, hey, I can get an ICR because of this weird nuance rule and have an extra 25K to do whatever I want with it.
Yeah. And this is where strategy comes into play. So many people don't think about the ideas like, oh, well, you paid 75, you paid a lot of it. Every little bit helps. I know I'd rather have 25 grand back in my pocket or 30 grand. Like you said, if you owed 100, you were going to pay that whole 100 back plus interest over the course of time. To just be able to pay 75 is a pretty good deal because you can redirect those dollars to something like home down payment, retirement, your kids' education, so they don't have to take on student loans. There's a lot of ways to be thinking about how do I make my money work best for me? And I hear that all the time. People come to me and they're like, hey, I want to make my money make money. I want to make my money work for me. This is one of the best ways to be able to make your money work for you, is having the best student loan strategy possible based on your particular situation, because it frees up money for you to be able to do other things that are related to your financial goals.
One way I personally think about money sometimes is like, what is that hourly rate? If you were to do something for an hour, how much could you make off of it, or how much would you save? So like in this case, knowing, doing like a 1 hour call, you know, applying for the right plan probably takes you an hour, hour and 20 minutes total to get all the paperwork, fill it out, get the consult, and it just saved you $25,000 to $30,000. Now, I know I would probably take that offer up and say, hey, if I could do something for an hour, there's probably some not so fun tasks I would do for an hour to make $25,000. So that's the way that I think about, you know, money, time, and how you want to really spend that time.
Yeah, that's a really good point about mindset. I think the other thing too is that what you described about this ICR situation and the person that could benefit from it, the reason that it's become so relevant as of late is because of the IDR waiver and the ability to be able to consolidate. So most of the people that, you know, are similar to that case study you brought up, had maybe some FFEL loans that had a really nice low interest rate. And like you said, they just put it on like an extended plan and just said, hey, I got a low interest rate. I'm just going to pay a little bit every month and it'll eventually go away. And they started that way back when they were attending, when they were in residency and, you know, have been attending for quite a while. So this big income. So one of the things they needed to do in order to be even to take advantage of the IDR waiver is to consolidate their loans. And so this is kind of our final point is like, hey, last chance for pay, last chance for ICR, but also last chance to consolidate your loans and be able to take advantage of some of the things related to the IDR waiver. If you're not tired of hearing me say it yet, this is not one size fits all. We're going to tell you not everybody needs to be consolidating, but there are a lot of people who need to consolidate and would benefit from it. So the first thing I'll say about consolidation is like it kind of gets a bad rap. It does because pre-COVID, if you consolidated your loans, you wiped out all of your payment history, which was a bad thing. You've been paying on them for 6 or 7 years on a 20 or 25 year plan, and you consolidate the loans and now you got 20 or 25 years to go all over again. You know, you lost that whole 7 years. Same thing for public service loan forgiveness. If you consolidated the loans, you were starting from scratch. Sometimes you didn't have a choice because, as an example, you had FFEL loans, which don't qualify for public service loan forgiveness. So if you wanted to get public service, you had to consolidate, but it meant that that was day one and you had 10 more years to go on your plan. The best reason to consolidate right now is because they are taking into consideration past payment history. They are not wiping it all out anymore. So there's so many people that are just like, girl, I'm not consolidating. Mm-mm, no way. No how. That is not for me. I know all the bad stuff that can happen and they're missing out. Hey, there is an update. There is a thing that's happening. Please look at the flashing lights. Consolidation is okay for a lot of people. And you need to find out if that lot of people is you, because you can get the highest payment count applied to your loans from consolidation. What else do people need to be thinking about as it relates to consolidating, Connor?
The one thing that comes up for me all the time is, yeah, I've heard of the IDR waiver. You know, I know that there's a benefit to it, but I read on the government page that it's going to happen automatically. And yes, it does say that on the government page. If you look, if you Google IDR waiver, it says this will happen automatically to all the folks who have loans with the Department of Ed. That is correct. But the way it's going to happen automatically if you don't consolidate, if you do nothing, is each individual loan will get the benefit of the IDR waiver, which means you might get some extra credit for periods of forbearance, really specifically periods of forbearance more than 12 months consecutively or greater than 36 months overall. You also might get some specific periods of deferment that are going to count towards repayment history. So that's all well and great. But like a client I had, so this morning, actually, she's a chiropractor. She's been paying on her loans for like 16 years, at least her oldest loan she's been paying on for 16 years because that's from her undergrad. She took a gap between undergrad and going back to school to be a chiropractor. So there was about a 4-year gap in there where she was paying on her loans and then she went back to school and took out new loans. And guess what? The vast majority of her balance are those ones from chiropractic school. Well, she had these old FFEL loans, and if she did nothing, the IDR waiver would have been applied, but it would have been applied individually. Because we talked and on the call, we said, oh, wow, this loan has 202 months of payment credit. These other ones only have about 150. So she's going to consolidate all them together and get an extra 50 months of repayment towards forgiveness. And she had a $900 payment a month. So quick math, 50 months at $900 a month, that's $45,000 less that she will pay towards her student loan balance to get her loans forgiven. So there's a case of literally recency bias, right? Literally this morning I talked to her, and because of this program, because she did book the call before June 30th, she's going to get this huge benefit of all this extra credit with the IDR waiver.
Wow, that is amazing. And so I think that was a really good case study too, to be able to kind of really illustrate who can benefit from consolidating their loans to be able to take advantage of the extra payment history. However, like you said, the devil is in the details. You also might mess yourself up if you consolidate. You might not, you know, completely ruin your life, but you might not be doing anything that is in your best interest. So do you have any examples of a situation where maybe you should not consolidate right now?
Again, this is the perfect morning for talking about this in the podcast. So another client, she was a pediatrician, and she actually had a really low payment that she locked in during her residency. So she was only paying $200 a month. And since then, she had actually gotten married. So now not only is it her income, but also her spouse's because they were filing taxes married filing jointly. So you weren't required to recertify your income during the pandemic, but now it's coming up, and she saw her income recertification coming up was actually going to be September of this next year. So September of 2025. If she did nothing, she could keep that $200 payment until her next recertification date, which means 15 more months of $200. The catch is, if you consolidate, you have to recertify your income immediately. So for her, in her situation, her payment was going to go up more than $1,000 a month if she consolidated. But we looked for her and we said, hey, you're actually not going to get much of a benefit by doing the IDR waiver consolidation. So just don't do that. So if we would have just blanket statement, hey, everybody just go consolidate, everybody go do this. If you ever get advice that says, hey, everybody do anything, take pause and probably don't do that, because everybody shouldn't do just about anything. So for her, if she would have just consolidated, her payment would have gone up $1,000 a month for 15 months, costing her $15,000 extra on her way to getting those loans totally forgiven.
We just saw an example where somebody saved themselves $45,000 by consolidating, or someone could have cost themselves $15,000 by consolidating. Did y'all hear me when I said that student loans are not one size fits all? Like, literally, you have to be thinking about what is relevant to my particular situation. Let me understand all of these different things as it relates to me, so that I can make the best decision for myself. Do not do what your friend is doing. Do not do what you heard somebody else said they were doing. Like you said, that blanket information that those talking heads give. You know, there is a response message coming from Kathleen and I pretty soon. So tune in for that podcast from those talking heads that, you know, are giving that one size fits all information, because it's very dangerous. You need to know what is your student loan plan. You need to know whether or not you need to be on ICR, whether you need to choose pay, whether you need to consolidate or not. It is not a situation where you should take advice from a broad place and just say, like, let me do this thing and let me hope that I fall on the right side of the fence. We shouldn't be gambling with our financial futures.
Yeah, my background being in physical therapy, I totally relate to this, because it's like, imagine if every patient with the same diagnosis got the exact same treatment plan. That would be a horrible idea, because everybody has unique nuances about themselves, about their past, about their, you know, their comorbidities that are going to cause me to treat them a little bit differently than someone else. And treating a client with a student loan consult is really no different.
As I mentioned, there are some things coming down the pipeline. So if you do miss this, if you just happen to be this person who's listening on July 2nd, or you chose to drive on over to a barbecue on the 4th of July and listen to the Student Loan Planner podcast, you know, all is not lost for you. We will do a full podcast on the July 1st changes and how you need to be thinking about them. But there will be, as an example, weighted average payments that will be applied to your loans when you consolidate them after July 1st. Don't lose everything that we're talking about today, but you absolutely want to be ahead of the June 30th deadline. If you've already done your consultation and you just like listening to this podcast, sharing is caring. Please tell a friend, because there are 44 million student loan borrowers. We've served about 18,000 at Student Loan Planner. We were one of the very first companies in existence doing this. So while others have popped up, let's just say that maybe a million people have been served and have a very clear plan on their student loans. And I think that's pretty generous. There's 43 million more people out there that have no idea what to do with their loans. You definitely want to be thinking about how you can share this information with someone, because there's somebody out there that has no idea that this is happening, despite the fact that we're doing a podcast all the time. We're doing Instagram Lives all the time. We're doing webinars constantly. You know, we are shouting it from the rooftop, being student loan evangelists to the best of our ability. So please, 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 if nothing that we said was relevant to you today, share this information with someone else. Another July 1st change that's coming down the pipeline is the application of 5% of your discretionary income being applied to your undergrad debt. So you may have been notified by your loan servicer that they're putting you in a short forbearance so that they can recalculate your payment if you are on the SAVE plan to adjust it down based on this 5% for undergraduate debt. So if you only had undergrad debt, then your payment should be based on 5% of income, but it has been up to this point based on 10% of income, because they didn't implement this rule, or they're not implementing this rule until July 1st. So be on the lookout for your payment to go down if you're on SAVE and you have undergraduate debt. And then, like I said, there will be no more pay. There will be no more ICR. So you want to make sure that you know what is available to you, which is most likely going to be the save plan and the new income-based repayment plan. So those will be your options going forward, but there will be income-driven options. So all is not lost.
You're absolutely right, Lauren. All is not lost, but it will be important to continue to pay attention because just because you're in the right plan right now, as they continue to change things, change the rules a little bit, add some things, take some things away, you're going to want to pay attention to make sure that you're still in the right plan for yourself and for your family so that you're not overpaying on these loans and they don't impact what you really want to do in your life.
100%. Also, we are in the Olympic season. I know it sounds like I'm going on a tangent, but if you're listening to this podcast right now, it is time for the Olympic trials for a lot of the big sports. So gymnastics, swimming, and track and field all have their Olympic trials coming up. And why is this important to this podcast that we're talking about? It is world-class athletes' last chance to make the team. For some of them, they're aging out of, you know, being able to participate. They won't be eligible 4 years from now. They won't be fit 4 years from now. They just won't be interested, or they won't make the team 4 years from now. This is their absolute last chance to be able to do this thing, to make the most of an opportunity. They've been training for it for years. We all need to root for them as a fellow Olympic athlete. I am super excited to tune in and, you know, watch Team USA compete and get ready to perform. But if there's one thing that we can learn, it is to make the most of every single moment that you get. You got 20, 30 minutes of this podcast. It is a moment in time that allows you to be able to go and win the championship with the student loans, get your Olympic gold medal by actually taking action and making the most of the fact that you got access to this information. So please go out and win your Olympic medal, either by telling someone else about what happened today or by taking advantage of getting a student loan consultation. You can find us at studentloanplanner.com. This podcast, you can find us on Instagram at Student Loan Planner. Take in the information any way you want, but I'd say if you have not yet booked the consultation, if you don't have a plan for yourself, please do get a consultation on the books before June 30th.